PowerPoint so we can have it on the screen again. It's John chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. It's a little cold in here, huh? My hands are like really dry. No, that's good. We've got it open. Yeah, let's go to the verse. Awesome. Okay. John chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And the second verse I want to read with you guys is also in the book of John. It's in John chapter 15, verses 5 and 8. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And the last verse I wanted to read is in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. John, if I can just have you hit the next button there. Yeah, awesome. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verses 19 and 20. "In this day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we're just so joyful whenever we get to meet like this. And Lord, today's no different. It's a new year, but it's another chance for us to recommit our lives to you, to tell you that we want to choose life, that we want to choose your way. And so, Lord, we pray that this morning that you would be blessed, that you would just be able to rest your presence in this place amongst your people, that you would just give us a understanding of what you want us to hear today. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In my Lord Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's recap a little bit on what we've talked about. So on the first day, we talked about the way, right? And we talked about the broken condition that man is in, and how broken that relationship between God and man had become. And it's all because we've chosen our own way. You know, we also talked about on the first day on how the Holy Spirit, how he uses the cross and he uses repentance to lead us back onto the way. And we also talked about what it means to belong to the way and how people will recognize that we are people of the way. And it's all based on how we act when no one's looking. And the second day, we talked about truth, you know, and we talked about how there's so much misinformation out there, you know, and how God is misinterpreted and how people see this relationship between God and man. And we also discussed how the truth is that Jesus is the only way to the Father. And we also touched a little bit about just how our Lord Jesus is an example of how to live a transparent life. So today is the last day. Well, it's the last day of my sharing with you anyway. And we're gonna explore this last section of Jesus's response to Thomas. He told him, "I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And so remember, Jesus had told his disciples that I am going to the Father's house to prepare a place for you. And Thomas wanted to know where this was. He wanted to know where Jesus was going. And, you know, I don't know if Thomas realized it or not, but actually Jesus was giving him this comprehensive way back to the Father. He was actually describing in pretty good detail on how to accomplish this. And so when Jesus was telling Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he was actually giving him a prelude to the where and the why and the how. This is how to get to my Father's house. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is I am the life. And so when Jesus said, "I am the life," he was saying that I am the source of life, that apart of me, you can do nothing. And so the other day we had talked about how man was spiritually dead when he ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this spiritual death, it means that the connection between God and man was severed. But this was Jesus's mission. He was sent to restore that connection between man and God. And it was his mission to set things right again. So this is what it meant when he said Jesus is the life, because he has the power of resurrecting the dead. And so we talked about this a little bit yesterday. And Jesus has this way of using analogies about farmers and plants and animals. And that second verse that we read was just another way of God illustrating his point in terms that we can understand. And so he called himself the vine. And he said that we are the branches. Again, he was trying to explain that he was the source of life. It's not the branches. It comes from the vine. That's why it says in the Gospel of John, in him was life. And that life was the light of man. See, light is a good thing. You know, light helps us find the way when we're lost. And it also helps to show us where we're going in the darkness. And if any of you guys have ever stepped on a Lego piece at night, you guys know what I'm talking about. You need light. Otherwise, you're going to trip over something and hurt yourself. And so the light, it illuminates the room. What was scary in the dark, in the light, it reveals that it's completely harmless. And the light, it provides a way. It provides a way and it provides a purpose to our lives again. So when Jesus' answer to Thomas on how do I get to the Father's house, and he said, "I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me," it reminds me of a time when a speaker was telling us, you know, he said that that the problem as Christians is that we just need to know how to stay in. We need to know how to remain in. And we're always trying to, you know, we think that we have this mission of ours is how do we get in? But once we're saved and once we're believers, we're already in. It's just for whatever reason, we have this natural tendency to want to get out. And it's so true because, you know, we have so many distractions in this world that are just trying to pull us out. so many things that we find in this world that is attractive to us. And that's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And actually, these things are actually much easier to identify. But this third thing that belongs to the world, the pride of life, this is actually a lot harder to discern. Because the pride of life, it also speaks of life. So isn't that a good thing? But you have to ask yourself, whose life is it? You know, it speaks of our own ambitions. It speaks of what we want to do on our own. The pride of life is all about what I've accomplished. And it's the pride of going my own way. You know, I remember a few years ago, I was attending this conference out on the East Coast. It was out in New Jersey. And it was with a few other brothers from different fellowships around the country. And at the end of this conference, there is this question and answer session. And so everybody during the, it was kind of like this, right? It was like 3 days of messages, and then and everybody had a chance to write down questions for the speakers, and they put it into a box. So it was all anonymous. Nobody knew who was asking these questions. And so when it came time on the last day for this Q&A session, Stephen Kong, you know, he pulled out one of the questions from the box, and he read it aloud to all of us. And the question was something like this. I'm paraphrasing. But the question was, I've just gotten married and I'm planning on starting a family. And I've just started serving at church, but I want to hold off on committing to anything more until I've been further into my career and until my kids are a little bit older. You know, what advice would you say to that? And so you can imagine the whole room just went silent, because this was at the end of the conference, and the whole time was talking about how we should live our lives and serve the church and want to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul. And this question comes up, so the whole room goes silent, and there's about 100 brothers in there, and all of us sitting there listening to this, we just thought Stephen Kong was going to bring the hammer down, right? We just thought, oh, okay, let's all get ready for this. And Stephen Kong just kept on repeating over and over again. He was like, what would you say? What would I say to that? You want to know what I would say to that? And then a big smile came across his face. And in the most gentle way, he said, well, you just haven't seen enough of the Lord's glory yet. And that was it. That was his answer to it. You see, in the book of Matthew, the Lord told us the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. So this whole example that I'm giving you guys is an exercise about vision. You know, are we keeping our focus on the Lord? Or perhaps our focus is being pulled away in other places. You know, and it's kind of like walking a dog. How many of you guys have pet dogs? Maybe like 30%, maybe less, maybe 20%. Well, if you guys ever have walked a dog before, you know that you guys are perfectly fine walking down the street. Everything's copacetic, right? Right up until something catches the periphery of your dog's view, or maybe it's like a squirrel or something, or maybe it's a rabbit, and that's it. It's game over, right? This dog is not moving. He is just completely just stopped, and his focus is just right on that squirrel. And so the whole time you can fight all you want, and you can pull the leash, and you can snap your fingers and say, "Hey, scout!" You know, try to get his attention. And the whole time, the whole point is you're trying to break his attention on whatever it is that stole his focus from you. And then all of a sudden, when you've been able to do that, he's totally fine again, right? And he'll just like start walking with you like nothing happened. And that's kind of with us. And Marty told me not to use this example because I'm not trying to call us dogs. That wasn't my point. But my point was just how easy it is for all of us to just lose our focus on our Lord Jesus. You know, I mean, something like a squirrel, it's just, it's something so small, but all of a sudden our gaze is off and we want to go our own way. And so, you know, maybe these things are not so small. Maybe these distractions are just starting to come up in our lives now. And it's actually starting to be a little more important to us. You know, maybe it's someone in your group of friends that all of a sudden you start to become attracted to. You know, maybe it's the thought of going to a certain school or starting a career and you've become obsessed with it. You know, maybe it's something inward. Maybe you started to really start judging yourself and examining yourself. And all of these things all just end in darkness. No good can come of this stuff. You know, that's why Jesus came as the light of the world. And that's why he also said, remain in me. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your thoughts on me. And you know what will happen? You seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given unto you. You guys all know that verse. This is nothing new to you. Now, when we remain in him, something miraculous happens. Miracles can happen in our lives. You know, life starts to happen. Even in the middle of all the distractions in the world, you know, despite all the things that are trying to pull our attention away, you know, all of a sudden you start to see life. The branches start to blossom. Fruit starts to grow. And in the Bible, it tells us, it describes what some of this fruit is. And so we know that in Galatians, it says the spirit of fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Wouldn't we want all these things in our lives? And this fruit is the proof of that there's life. And so, in other words, the fruit we bear in our own lives, in our daily living, this is a testimony to the life of Jesus that lives in us. It is a sign to others that see us. Hey, I know who you belong to. You must be a disciple of Jesus. And so we talked a little bit about testimonies the other day. And we talked a little bit about being transparent. And we said that a testimony is used in a court of law as proof of existence of something. And so for Christians, and our brother Max said this the other day, and actually I believe his theme is very similar to what we've been talking about for our sessions. He said that our testimony is not necessarily what we say. It's not what happens up here at the pulpit. You know, it's about our daily lives. It's about how we live. That's our testimony. And I'm going to bring up that example again that Mac, our brother Mac, brought up. You know, there's that one brother that said, you know, I preach the gospel every day. And some days I use my words. You know, and I love that. I love that phrase because it is so true that people don't get converted and people don't understand what you're talking about when you just speak to them. It's what they say. It's what they do. And so this whole testimony about how we live, it's a testimony about life where there used to be death, where there used to be hate. Now there's love. Where I used to have sadness in my life, I now have joy. Where there used to be conflict, now there's peace. See, this was God's plan for us from the very beginning. You know, and that's why he said back at the beginning of Genesis, when we talked about this, after God created man, he blessed him. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. And I think God was talking about the fruit of the Spirit when he said, be fruitful. This was the blessing. This was the blessing that he wanted to give to man. It was the blessing of the Son's life in us. And God's intention was for all of mankind to become disciples of Jesus, of his Son. This is how they would all gain access to the Father again. And it's because Jesus' life in us, that was the blessing in itself. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that is very close to my heart. And it's when the Lord said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, God knew we had to live in this world. He even said at one point when he was praying to his Father, he said, my prayer is not for you to take them out of this world. It's for you to protect them from the evil one. And so the blessing that God wanted for man was for us to remain in him. And what that would lead to is that we would have peace. And we would have peace while we remained in this world. And in fact, if we remained in the Lord, we would have not just peace, but we would have all the fruits of the Spirit. We would have love and joy, gentleness, self-control, kindness. This was the blessing for man. It was all of the fruits of the Spirit. And this is the way that our Lord and our God would be glorified, because it would show that God didn't just create man to abandon him. You know, God's plan was always to rescue him from himself. It was always to rescue him from this world while we're still in it, not when we die, not in the afterlife, but it was to rescue us now while we're still alive. And all of this was going to happen through his Son, Jesus Christ. That was the plan from the very beginning. It was a way for Christ to be the way back to our Creator, back to the Father. It was so that the life of Christ would be a blessing for man. And that's what ultimately leads us to this peace and joy that we have in this world. You know, and for some of the younger brothers and sisters, don't feel discouraged if this world still weighs down on you. You know, if you're still feeling some sadness, and it seems like there's still times in your life where there's still struggles, that's perfectly normal. You know, that happens to all of us Christians. You know, I also had to learn that once I decided to follow Jesus, It's not a one and done thing. It's not like once I got baptized and I came out of the water, all of a sudden I was full of the fruits of the Spirit. You know, I was a changed man. I was full of love. I was full of joy. I had all this peace and self-control. You know, I was ready to take on the world. Come at me, brah. It wasn't like that. I mean, I actually did feel. I did feel like I was that powerful when I came out, but we all know that's not the reality of things. You know, because following Jesus is not about just some type of religious accomplishment. You know, we talked about this earlier. Following Jesus is a way of life. Excuse me. And the fruits of the Spirit are not trophies, right? These are just, the fruits of the Spirit is just evidence of life. And so the longer that we remain in Jesus, the more of his life comes out of us. and the more of his life that others see. And the reason why we struggle, is because our goals just aren't quite aligned with his just yet. You know, we're still not perfect. We're still being conformed every day to his image. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That just means that we keep on taking these daily walks with him every day. We take these walks and we can talk about, hey, are our goals aligned? Are the things that I want in my life the same as the goals that you want for me? And so going back to the topic, you know, the Lord left us a roadmap. And we talked about this on the first day. He left us a roadmap on where to go, where was the way. But he also left us a roadmap on how to remain in him. And he left us by giving us parables, and he left us by giving us examples of commandments. And I just wanted to share one specific commandment with you guys that was really helpful for me. And this commandment was the only one with a promise. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. You know, Paul quoted this commandment in the book of Ephesians also. And I don't think it's any coincidence that in the same book, the book of Ephesians is known as providing the insight on the eternal purpose of God. And I don't think it's any coincidence that in the same book that Paul mentions the eternal purpose of God, there is this verse about honor your father and mother. You know, this whole section, when Paul was talking about this, it was all about submitting to one another. He was talking about wives, submit to your husbands. Children, honor your father and mother. And slaves, obey your master with honor and respect. And I know maybe some of you guys are thinking, okay, great, you're telling me a commandment about honoring father and mother, right? This is pretty self-serving. But you know, Maricela and I, we don't have any children. We just learned that this commandment had actually been a blessing for us along the way. And we wanted to share it with you guys so that you guys could experience this too. You know, I grew up in a Christian family, much like probably most of you guys here. And for all intents and purposes, I was a second generation Christian. You know, my parents were Christians, and I was a Christian as you know, since I was born, basically. And I feel like I've always believed. But for the most part, my faith has always been pretty superficial. You know, and as I grew up going through high school and going into my 20s, man, I was a rebel. And I was proud of it. I mean, if you looked up rebel in the dictionary, my picture would be right there. And you guys don't know me, but John knows. So he can attest to this. But, you know, I ended up just fighting with my parents just all the time. It was like nothing, we could never get on the same page about anything. And it was just fight after fight after fight. And it got to the point where I eventually moved out when I was 18 years old. And I mean, I don't know how much clearer of an example of a living prodigal son there can be. But, you know, it's also no wonder that during those years that I had stopped going to church. And I just, that was also the years that I was just backsliding as a Christian. But I still believed in God. It's just that I found other things in this world that were more attractive to me. You know, and as time passed, I started to realize that, you know, nothing in this world is satisfying me. All these things that have pulled my attention away from the Lord, all these things that used to be attractive to me, none of it satisfies me. I'm just not happy with any of it. Nothing has filled my life with a purpose. And so I slowly start going back to church. There's no big revelation. There's no big, you know, I got struck by lightning one day and I woke up. It was nothing like that. I was just lost. And I just wanted to get back home. And so as I started to slowly go back to church, and it wasn't like, you know, I all of a sudden devoted my life. It was just, you know, one Bible study here and there, you know, one Sunday here and there. And all of a sudden, some miracles started to happen in my life. You know, as my relationship with God started to get to improve and get repaired. Actually, my relationship with my parents started to also improve and get repaired. And I don't know if one thing caused the other, but for sure they were intertwined. There's no doubt. You know, and it was just something that was such a blessing in my life. Because you know, when I got a chance to talk to my parents a little bit more, I learned something new about them. And we would talk about just, and again, it wasn't just overnight. I mean, so, you know, some of these stories, when I tell you guys this stuff, these things span over years. It's not like it happened, you know, in just 1 week or one day. But over time, my parents would tell me stories about how they struggled when they were my age, or the things that they went through, and the challenges as parents that they had to endure, because they didn't know what they were doing either. And it came to a realization to me that, hey, they're just trying to figure out their way in this world too. It's no different than me. And so they made the same mistakes I did going through life. And I learned that by honoring them and by respecting them, that it opened a different mentality on this idea of submitting. And so, you know, I still don't necessarily agree with everything, that all the decisions in their life, but the main thing that I learned from this was, you know, what they desire for their own life should also be my desire. I don't know if you guys are understanding what I'm trying to say, but it changed my idea of not always wanting to fight with them just to fight with them. It was that they had a certain way that they wanted to live. And maybe I didn't necessarily agree with it, but it made them happy. And I wanted to make them happy. So this idea of submitting to my father and mother, to my earthly father, it just made it that much easier to submit to my heavenly father. And so I think that's why there was a promise that was attached to this commandment. Because number one, it's really hard. But number two, when you're able to do this, it takes away this idea of, I guess another way to think about it is if every day I'm living my life and I'm trying to tell my parents, I know better than you. This is just like when Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was basically telling God, I know better than you. He was basically making the choice of, I can either walk with my father in the cool of the day, or I can go my own way. And that's what his choice was. He was saying that I can take care of myself. And I no longer want to remain here. So that's why I think that let's focus on the promise now. The promise of honoring our father and mother is about a long life. Now, sometimes when we hear about these measurements of time, we get all caught up on quantity, right? We start to think like this term of eternal life. that all it means is living forever. So it's the same with this promise. But I don't think that's what God meant by saying that you will live a long life. I don't think the promise was that it was a measurement of time. Because we know that Adam disobeyed God when he ate from the tree. But he still lived to 930 years old. So does that mean if I obey this commandment that I'll live even longer than him? That I'll live to 1,000 years old? I'm not even sure if I want to live till 1,000 years old. So no, I don't think that's what it meant. No, I think what God was talking about was that if we ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that was talking about a spiritual death. And so if we were to obey this commandment, he was talking about the opposite. He was talking about living a long life would be about how our lives would be extended. Our spiritual life would continue. There'd be no cutoff from there. And when that happens, it makes it that much easier to remain in our Lord Jesus' life. So I want to ask you guys a question. Do you see yourself as a disciple of Christ? You know, the first time I had someone ask me that, I wasn't sure how to answer. Because I always felt like being a disciple was only reserved for the 12 that were listed in the Bible. Or I thought that it meant that I had to sell all my belongings and go to seminary and become a minister. I was wrong. That had nothing to do with being a disciple. All being a disciple of Christ means is being a follower of Christ. It's that plain and simple. And you know, there's going to be days where we're gonna lose our focus, and we're gonna get distracted, and we're gonna get lost on our way. And maybe it was a squirrel that distracted you. You know, but like we've been saying this whole time, the Holy Spirit is always trying to point you back to the way. And so, after a while, the longer you stay on this way, the squirrels no longer distract you. It's going to take something a lot bigger. And it's because all of a sudden, as you're walking and talking with him, you know, your thoughts become his thoughts, or I should say his thoughts become your thoughts. And his ways become your ways. And it's all because you're no longer trying to struggle with trying to get your camel through that gate. You're perfectly fine with leaving all that stuff outside. And so, you know, after a while, you don't even realize it, but your life becomes a living testimony to the life of Christ in you. You don't even need to tell people who you belong to anymore. They can see it from all the life-bearing fruit that's coming out of you. You know, people who used to see, oh, this guy was so full of anger before. Oh, he's so kind now. You know, where there was selfishness, look at all the self-control. You know, they will notice that there is some transforming power in you. And so these things are the fruit of the Spirit that I've been talking about. These aren't things that you can force or you can fake in your life. You know, if you've ever seen this in other people, you guys spot it right away. You guys know exactly who's being fake because it's very obvious. But you know, when it's something that's organic, there's something special about it. Because again, these things are not a purpose. These are not the way unto the Father. This is just a proof of life. This is what happens when there is life. And so, you know, there's a sister that we meet with on Saturday mornings for Bible study, and it's all on Zoom right now. And Mari and I, we really appreciate this, sister, because no matter how the week has been for all of us, when she logs in, man, she is so full of joy. And her smile and her laughter, it's so infectious. You know, and all of a sudden, maybe a minute or two into her logging on, all of us are laughing and smiling, and we're joking around. And it's not because this joy is something from her, because every other word that comes out of her mouth is about Jesus. But you know, the reality is, it's not just the words that she says. You can see that it's real in her life, that this is just how she lives. And it is such a joy for her. And then it becomes a joy for all of us that are around her. So the last point I wanted to talk about was that last passage that we read. And John, if you can pull that up just one more time so we can read it. It's the one in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. Keep going. I think I just have a slide just for it by itself. Yeah, cool. So this day, I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, Moses was telling these things to the Israelites right before they were entering the promised land. They were on the other side of the Jordan. And at this point, Moses was 120 years old. So he was nearing the end of his life. And it wasn't going to be him that was going to take the people of Israel into the promised land. He was just too old. So this job of leading the people into the promised land, it was now the responsibility of the next generation. It was up to Joshua. And so this was basically Moses's farewell speech. He was just giving this one last reminder of all the commandments to the people of Israel before he died. And at the end of it, Moses presented the Israelites a choice. It was a choice between life or death. It was a choice between a blessing or a curse. And of course, Moses encouraged them, choose life so that you and your children may live. See, this blessing for life, this blessing was not just for my parents' generation. It was a blessing so that the children can live too. It's for me, it's for you guys, and it's for the generation that comes after you. That's why the blessing ends with this. This is the land that he promised to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because he was talking about generations of people where this blessing is given to, where everyone, all of mankind, has a choice. That all of this was all accessible now. It was all through his son. And so I want you guys, I've been asking you guys to consider a lot of things. So I'm going to ask you guys to consider one other thing. All right. Do you ever see your parents serving at church? And do you ever think that maybe you criticize in your heart that maybe they spend too much time. They spend too much time serving the Lord and just not enough time at home. You know, when I was younger, I considered this. You know, growing up, my dad spent we spent our weekends at church all the time, on Saturdays and Sundays, even Friday nights. And all of his free time was all spent reading the Word. And so sometimes, you know, when you're growing up, you can feel a little separated from your dad that way. You might start to think, hey, I'm not sure why he's not spending more time with me or with the family, or how come we're not going on more trips together? You know, but as I got older, I realized something that I really appreciated about my dad. You know, because it was through my dad's choices in life that he was actually showing me my inheritance. You know, he serving the Lord and being with him, that was his blessing. And that was my dad's joy. And he wanted it for me. And I knew it was real in his life because I could see the testimony of the Lord in his life. Because of just how he lived, the choices he made. That's how I knew it was real. And so I bring this up because this is what I meant when we first started this conference at the very first day. I told you guys that all the brothers and sisters who are responsible for this conference, that they love you guys. And their lives have been blessed by the Lord. And they want you guys to experience this too, just like I do. Because they want you to see what your inheritance is. And, you know, I've reached the end of this message now. And I'm gonna give you guys the same farewell speech. And I'm gonna give you guys a choice. And it's a choice of life or death. It's a choice of blessing or curse. And you know, it's not some kind of ultimatum. It's not like tomorrow you wake up and if you don't choose life that you'll die. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, I just want you guys to experience the blessing. That's all. Because the Lord created us to walk and talk with him. And the whole point of this was to give us purpose in life. And he knew that there would be trials and hardships in this world. And all he wanted to do was just give us peace. That's why he was trying to give us a blessing. And so, are you like Thomas? Have you lost your way and you're still asking, how can I know the way? Well, remember, our Lord Jesus, he showed us the where, the why, and the how. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And it was meant to be a blessing. I want to share a song with you guys before we close in some prayer. John, I think it's the last slide there. Yeah. And it's an old song. I think most of you guys probably know it. But the reason, there's a specific reason why I want to share this song with you guys. And it's because, you know, when I was growing up in high school, there was a lot of stuff I was going through. And I'm sure you guys are going through stuff too. And this song was something that really kind of kept me moving forward. Because I knew that the troubles weren't going to end. There's always going to be more. And as I got older, I knew that more things and more the intensity would get bigger. But I also knew that at some point, there's going to be a blessing of peace. And that was my hope, that if I stayed within my Lord Jesus, that this world wouldn't, the tribulations would come, but this world wouldn't be able to touch me. So, let me see if I can try to take this.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, good cheer, for I have overcome the world.
Lord, we know that all of these things that you've shared with us so far is all to be a joy in our heart, so that when the world comes and it attacks and we have times of trial and tribulation, Lord, that the whole point of you coming to earth was to give us peace, to be a blessing in our lives. And so, Lord, we want to tell you that we love you. We want to say that we want to remain in. We want to be in this place where we can walk with you and talk with you in the cool of the day. And Lord, sometimes we do stray. And Lord, we're sorry. When we do, we know, we realize we're going our own way and we're saying that I know better than you. We're also so grateful that when we reach the end of our rope, there's always a place where we can come back to. And you've never turned your back on us. You've always said, I'm just waiting for you. I want you to have this blessing. So Lord, help us to just live this life this life of your Son that lives in us today, that we would be able to have proof that there's life in us, so that others may see the same light, and that we could be a gospel to others. Lord, we thank you for giving us your Son, and for knowing that it's all because you loved us. In Jesus' name, in my Lord Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Okay, before we close, I just wanted to say a couple words. First of all, brothers and sisters, as you know, this is our last message for Brother Caleb. And so our brother, you know, when we first invited our brother to come speak to us, we gave all of the speakers a choice, whether they wanted to dial in from home or come in person. And as I was talking to our brother yesterday, you know, we couldn't be more pleased to be able to meet in person. Our brother was talking about choosing life today. It's a whole lot easier to speak from your bedroom. It's a whole lot easier to do other things during this long weekend. I know many of you have many things at work and many places where you could be. Other people are celebrating New Year's differently than we are. Many of them are probably still in bed right now because they had a great night last night in the world's eyes. But we choose to be here with the Lord on New Year's Day. And we choose to be here with brothers and sisters as well on New Year's Day. So Lord, I just want to thank our brother for coming here, for the messages that he brought to us today. The other thing I wanted to mention is that, so we won't, we typically had online activities during this time, but we won't have them today. And the reason why is because we have Singspiration planned today. So at 1:30, and I apologize because yesterday, I think to the online group, I mentioned 1:45, but at 1:30, we'd love it if we can kind of dial back in to this Zoom link. And if you're in person, we're going to meet together again. We're going to meet Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, that room over there across the way, this children's room right there, because they have a piano, a nice piano over there. And we'll make sure to have all the visual equipment over there. And we have a couple brothers and sisters that are serving in that way. And then again, at 2:30, then we'll go to Max's message. And then we'll come back again for the discussion, our last discussion group, which would be at around 4:20-ish. So cool. So that's our plans for today. And again, tomorrow we're going to start off again with morning watch, just like we did today. But then during this time right now, our brother Caleb will not be speaking to us. We'll have four brothers and sisters share their personal experiences. So it'll be Peter, Emmeline, George, and Dorothy will be speaking to us, will be sharing with us. So I think we're all looking forward to that. And then after that meeting, then we're gonna have breaking of bread with the adults, and then that'll conclude our conference. So this is our last full day, brothers and sisters. So let's make the most of it. I would just really encourage you to kind of meet with, or just strike up a conversation with somebody that you don't know that well, somebody from a different fellowship, somebody from a different age group, somebody that's you haven't connected with. Thank you so much, and we'll see you guys at 1:30. Cool. And those in person, we're gonna have bring in some food and have some fun. Thanks a lot, everybody. Appreciate it.
I don't know.
Elaine has it all planned, I'm sure. Thanks, everybody online.